Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, jiao weevi va kat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial corporation. In the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster-bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, food-borne in the USNRA, home of Uncle Sam, Manila, where the... They sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, destruction, and disease is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We hear the siren going by, another victim of diet probably, right? And this time of year... How I used to be a fan. Why, strike up the band. Let's hear the song for this time of year. It used to just be so exciting for me to, Joe, strike up the band. Joe. Are vegan, so yeah, why not? But if you're at Dodger Stadium, there, the Dodger dog. I think the Dodger dog should be declared a Los Angeles municipal health hazard, greater than smog. You know, it's a 10-inch wiener disseminated on, you know, a steamed bun. Size matters, by the way, when it comes to a wiener. A 10-inch wiener is 66% larger than the regular 6-inch wiener, which means more chance for cancer, more chance for heart disease, and, of course, more animal suffering. Size matters there. And, I mean, if you thought Bin Laden was a threat to your children... Well, no, it's the bun laden. The bun laden with the Dodger dog. Bin Laden would never have gotten you, but the bun laden with the Dodger dog probably will. 2.2 million served at home games. The Dodgers are in first place, selling more hot dogs at Dodger Stadium than any other major league ballpark. Yes, the Dodgers are in first place. Well, what does this mean? Well, if I were an oncology student, you know, going to be a medical doctor specializing in cancer, I would want to live in the Los Angeles metropolitan area. I'd buy a season ticket to the Dodgers. And here, Dodger dogs for everyone on me, okay? Come on, eat up. I have yacht payments to make, you know. That's if I were an oncology student. The Dodger dog made by Farmer John is not kosher, nor halal, nor thou shalt not kill, as both pigs and cows are killed, and their flesh is mixed. And the L.A. Dodgers and Farmer John are equal opportunity health hazards. They feel that the Mexican-American population should have equal access to cancerous tumors, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and premature death. And what could be really more racist, than targeted unhealthy eating? So, para su familia, para sus niños y niñas, the Doyer dog. Yes, that's a Dodger dog that instead of ketchup has chili, salsa, and jalapenos. And a new study was just released explaining why your Dodger dog, your Doyer dog, beef, pork, well, and for that matter, lamb, venison, duck, will cause you to suffer cardiovascular problems. And I will talk about that later in the hour if Daisy, the wonderful Chihuahua, gets off my lap and lets me move around to my computer here. Hope to get to that later in the hour. And that study, by the way, is good news for vegans and the kind of news that should make any Dodger dog eater, any meat eater, want to go vegan. You know, as if, a bun laden with decomposing cadaver weren't repulsive enough to make you want to go vegan. And the Dodger dog does represent a large-scale animal massacre at Farmer John's Murder Factory in Vernon, California. 2.2 million Farmer John Dodger dogs are sold annually at home games, meaning Dodger fans are directly responsible for the murder of, at least 30,000 pigs every year, 30,000 innocent lives in national pastime ritualistic animal sacrifice in ritualistic indoctrination of children into unhealthy eating. That will shorten the game of life for them. The Dodger dog is not so innocent, except that it's made from the bodies of the innocents. And it doesn't have to be that way. There is relief coming from the bullpen if we set the bulls free from the pen. There is a menu with vegan options at Dodger Stadium and, just about every major league ballpark. Look for the veggie burgers, the veggie dogs, and the sloppy Janes at Dodger Stadium. They're all vegan. The buns on which they are served are vegan. There's a fresh Melissa's produce section at Dodger Stadium, and at the gluten-free stand you can find Beanfield's chips and salsa. And for Giants fans at AT&T Park at the Derby Grill, you can get field roast frankfurters and field roast specialty burgers. Hot dog buns at AT&T Park are vegan. There's a rather extensive menu of items labeled vegetarian, as shown at veggiehappy.com. You'll have to check out to see what's vegan and what is labeled vegetarian that may contain animal products. That's why we have to use the word vegan these days. The word vegetarian has been hijacked by the dairy and egg industries. Also, veggiehappy.com lists the menus at all major league ballparks and other sports venues. And now that we have our vegan dogs, vegan burgers, peanuts and Cracker Jack, oh no, the baseball itself is made out of cowhide. Our national pastime is animal suffering. We eat it, we play it, we wear it. Yeah, we wear it, leather cleats, the leather glove. It doesn't have to be that way either. There are leather-free balls and leather-free gloves. In fact, coming up on today's show, we'll talk to Scott Carpenter, one of the pioneers in the manufacture of vegan gloves, leather-free gloves. Also later in the program, we'll talk to Pat Cuviello of Humanity Through Education, protesting the Universe Soul Circus in the Bay Area, currently there. By the way, there is a big Farmer John protest happening May 4th in Vernon, California, at the Farmer John Murder Factory there, if you want to stand up for the 30,000 pigs who are killed just to be eaten at Dodger Stadium and how many others. So that's the Farmer John protest, May 4th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. In Vernon, California. By the way, the Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden, the next program, will be May 2nd, a Thursday, as T-Radio V is constructing new studios at Channel 20, Coffee TV in San Francisco. So we'll be broadcasting the TV show from there, resuming broadcast May 2nd. If you missed the first telecast, the first Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden, you can go to goveganradio.com and click the March 28th archive to see that program. Coming up the first weekend in May, we start our syndication through the Genesis Communications Network, the fastest-growing talk radio station network in the world. It has over 800 radio station affiliates. We continue to broadcast on KCAA in Southern California in the Inland Empire, Sundays at 1 p.m., where our time period is the number one podcast listening time period of the week. You can also hear us in the San Francisco Bay Area 4 p.m. Sundays on 1450 KEST, and also on iTunes and on your smartphone via Stitcher.com/GoVegan. And Facebook, be my friend, Bob Linden. Find me as Bob Linden in a couple of places. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. A couple of places there, too. Someday we'll get consolidated and organized, but not today. On Twitter, it's at GoVeganRadio. And you can go to the website for many – oh, it's a new website, too. Check it out. Many archives there. And while you're there, while you listen, you can click donate and help us pay for radio airtime, as we've had to do for the last 12 years broadcasting Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, as heard on Air America. And now is an important time to donate, as we are more dedicated than ever to bring a message of compassion, improved human health, and environmental sustainability to the mainstream media. It's GoVeganRadio.com. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special place, no meat, dairy, fish, or eggs in San Jose. Experience Vegetarian House, 100% organic vegan restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. A favorite fine dining establishment since 1994, featuring a spectacular international menu embracing the cuisines of China, India, Thailand, Vietnam, the Middle East, Europe, and the Americas. Appetizers, soups, salads, entrees, and desserts that you simply must experience. Enjoy freshly squeezed organic fruit and vegetable juices. Committed to your fine dining experience, your health, compassion for animals, and the environment, Vegetarian House is powered by rooftop solar panels. Waste is composted or recycled when possible, and all to-go packaging can be composted or is biodegradable. The cuisine at Vegetarian House is GMO-free and organic. See the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. Experience one of the world's best 100% vegan organic restaurants. You'll love the bakery items. Raw desserts are available, too. Have your next event catered by Vegetarian House. Whether you need power box lunches or it's a full banquet, call 408-292-3798. Vegetarian House. Now you know the way to eat in San Jose. 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. VegetarianHouse.us. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden would like to express its appreciation to Vegetarian House for its ongoing sponsorship of our radio program. To advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products, email bob@goveganradio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. And as I mentioned, we also have started a TV show. It's Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden, resuming May 2nd. You can see the archive at goveganradio.com. The March 28th archive is the first program of Go Vegan TV. And if you would like to advertise either on TV or radio and become a sponsor, if you have vegan and cruelty-free products and services offered to the public, email me. It is Bob at goveganradio.com. So I had been a fan of baseball really all my life. You know, at age 10 and 11, I was a big New York Yankee fan growing up in New York in the Bronx. I actually got to run around the bases at Yankee Stadium. They used to let the fans on the field after the game. I chased after Mickey Mantle's taxi cab yelling, "Mickey, Mickey!" Today I would be charged with stalking, but, you know, things were a little different in those days. And I still remember the uniform numbers of every Yankee from the 1961 team, but eventually, my concern for animals took over. I realized, and I loved playing softball. You know, it's with Z92 in Omaha, my radio station there. We had the Z92 All Stars, and we'd play all over Nebraska and Iowa. Softball is king in Omaha. We'd play at Rosenblatt Stadium, and you know. But then I realized, you know, if I have to deal with my moral issues, I can't play with a leather ball. I can't wear a leather glove. I'd sure like to play softball again. There are non-leather balls. There are non-leather gloves, actually, too. And these gloves, in fact, are high quality, high performance level. And one of the pioneers in the manufacture of non-leather gloves is Scott Carpenter of the Carpenter Trade Company. And he is with us today. Welcome to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Scott, how are you today?
I'm great. Hi, Bob.
Hi, it's great to have you here today. So, Scott, what got you started in the development and manufacture of leather-free gloves? What motivated you to get those going?
Well, I had a long history working with shoes and knowing about materials. I was looking at what the future of baseball gloves would be, and I determined that the future of baseball gloves would be synthetic materials and non-leather materials. And I live here in Cooperstown, New York, so I study the evolution of baseball gloves here at the Hall of Fame. And I became convinced. So I worked towards that goal. And today I have a baseball glove manufacturing, and we make the only non-professional or the only non-leather glove ever to be used in Major League Baseball history.
Wow. Holy cow. So I think Phil Rizzuto used to say that, too, for the Yankees. Didn't he say holy cow? And in this case, it really applies. Why did you think that the future would be in synthetics? How did you come to that conclusion?
Well, you see it in a lot of other sports equipment. So if for example, you would never play professional tennis using the old wood rackets. You'd probably use some sort of composite or synthetic materials. You would never climb Mount Everest today using traditional wool jackets and canvas tents. You would be using all synthetics. Synthetics, the man-made alternatives, they're technology, and that technology gets better and better year after year. It evolves. It gets better. So it's just a matter of time before these alternatives to leather start outperforming leather and becoming better. And so you're seeing it not just with my brand. I'm kind of pioneering in this area, but you're seeing it with all brands of baseball gloves. And whether that's Rawlings, Wilson, Nike, you're seeing more and more of their components of their gloves becoming synthetics. It's common to see all synthetic backs on many of these gloves in Major League Baseball today. Welting, padding, lining, all these things are every year, more and more of the percentage of every glove in Major League Baseball is more synthetic every year. And so it's evolution. It's going in that direction. And I just happen to be in the lead in that direction.
Well, could it be because you're from Cooperstown and you had to have baseball on your mind from a very young age?
Well, I think I see Cooperstown as a big advantage because the best way to look into the future of baseball is to study the past of baseball, and there's no better place to study the past of baseball than here at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. They have a great reference library. They have all the gloves from the early fingerless gloves to the bigger gloves that are used today. And you could see that evolution, and you can make better predictions to what the future might hold being here in Cooperstown.
And hasn't the quality of leather, cowskin, declined? The material is... Yeah.
Yeah, so there is a theory out there. A lot of people said that their old baseball gloves back in like the 1950s just seemed to be a better quality leather and lasted longer in a number of years, and that the leather that's traditionally used in gloves today just don't seem to hold up as long. And the theory is that because the cows back in the 50s usually lived a mature life, and they grazed in an open field, and they had a much more mature leather quality that came from that animal at the time. Today, as you know, it's traditionally factory-farmed animals that go into feedlots, and instead of going to slaughter at an older age with a mature hide, they're going to slaughter at a very much younger age with all the steroids and feedlots and other things they do to fatten them up and grow them quickly. And the consequence of that for the quality of the leather is not good. It's a more inferior leather. And so while the leather is getting worse as we go forward, the man-made equivalents, the synthetics, the man-made leathers, they're getting better every year. So they're going in different directions, and that's part of the reason why, you know, the alternatives have a brighter future.
We're talking to Scott Carpenter of the Carpenter Trade Company. And how is it that you and your company provided the first professional baseball non-leather glove? How did that happen? How did you make contact, and how did it come to be used? Were you well received, right out of the dugout, or?
Well, I started from scratch, and the first the early years were a lot of head scratching and people just trying to wrap their mind around the idea of a non-leather baseball glove. It sounded strange to a lot of people at first, but it started with, younger players and minor league players that were using my gloves and enjoyed the performance benefits of my gloves. My gloves are the lightest gloves used in professional baseball today, and generally lighter is better. And the people that have been using the gloves believe in the performance and that it's outperforming and giving them an advantage on the field. So the players, just by word of mouth, started spreading word. More and more players started wearing the gloves, and eventually those players got better and better to the point where now you're seeing my gloves being used in Major League Baseball. And I'm very proud to say that I've never had to pay a player anything to wear my gloves, which is what you typically find with professional players. They can get money endorsements from just about any brand. All the players that you see using my gloves, they're using it without payment. They're using it because they believe in the performance of the glove and that the gloves give them an advantage on the field, and that's why they're wearing the gloves.
Wow. Imagine what it can do for vegan softball players, huh?
Yeah, and I've come across many of them over the years. There's been full vegan softball games being played, and the numbers might surprise you. There's a lot out there.
I crave that, actually, and I I wish I had the time to organize either in the L.A. area or the San Francisco Bay Area some games where we would use all non-leather gloves, non-leather balls. I mean, that would be great. Can you drop some names as to any of the professional players who are using your glove?
Yeah, well, there's a number of guys. Part of the what goes along with not paying players is that they all these players do have agents, and the agents do not want to see me broadcasting these names all over the place. But I have a lot.
Don't worry,
players.
We only have 11 listeners, so I think we're okay.
I will tell you that the first player to use a glove in a major league game was Brian Gordon, who was a starting pitcher for the New York Yankees, and that was in 2011, and that was the first time a non-leather glove was ever used in Major League Baseball history.
Ah, from my Yankees. I'm from the Bronx, you know.
So. I thought you would appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and had he ever spoken about it? Did he have a reaction to using it at all, or...
Oh yeah, he had been using my gloves for a long time before then, and if you go to my website, he has a nice testimonial on there talking about the gloves and the advantage that he has it. So he's been a big supporter for a long time.
That's great. Okay, well, tell us your website and what's available for vegans, for the casual recreational player, and for the. Hey, if you can't get bigger than being on the Yankees and having the glove on, you know, used, so that's
right.
Pretty amazing.
The website is carpentertrade.com. And, you know, if you just Googled vegan baseball gloves, you're going to find that too. So right now I'm making a small number of gloves, and they run for several hundreds of dollars. There is a lot of potential for the feedback I've been getting. So right now I'm actually working on a partnership. We're hoping to expand production in the future and get prices down to more reasonable levels so more people can appreciate these gloves.
Wonderful. Well, let me know when, and then maybe we need at least 10 for the softball team, you know, so...
That's right, yeah. And
for the vegan softball team that we need to form.
I'm working towards it.
Excellent. Okay. One more time, Scott Carpenter, the website for vegan baseball gloves?
CarpenterTrade.com.
Thanks so much for being with us today, and thanks for providing such a valuable service to the sport. Holy cow, Scott Carpenter, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob. Bye.
Okay, take care. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And we'll continue with Pat Cuviello. We'll be talking about the Universe Soul Circus that's in the Bay Area. That coming up. Please support the program with a tax-deductible donation. We have to purchase radio airtime. We have production costs associated with radio and now television. So help us out, please, for archives and podcasts. And to donate online, please go to goveganradio.com.
Animals and the Afterlife. It's the heartwarming book from author, animal lover, and animal communicator Kim Sheridan. Visit animalsandtheafterlife.com. Do animals have souls? What happens when they die? This book offers some amazing answers. Animals and the Afterlife provides comfort for anyone who has ever loved and lost an animal, and food for thought for anyone who has ever questioned the place of animals in the larger scheme of things. Read about Kim's experiences and the experiences of people around the world in Animals and the Afterlife, Forward Magazine's Book of the Year Award winner. See more about author Kim Sheridan at kimsheridan.com, her other books, films, and compassionate projects. And learn more about this amazing book and order it at animalsandtheafterlife.com.
With over 200 restaurants around the globe,
Loving Hut is the largest chain of independently owned vegan restaurants worldwide. The first one in North America is in Milpitas, California, at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford University students and faculty enjoy Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. There are three Loving Hut locations in San Francisco, one in Elk Grove and one in San Jose. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. You'll find Loving Hut restaurants throughout Southern California, too. And in the Inland Empire, there's a Loving Hut in Claremont and in Upland. Many of the goodies at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga are from the bakery at Loving Hut Upland. The people at Loving Hut are on a mission to save your health, save the animals, and save the planet from climate change and other environmental disasters caused by meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption. Who knew that saving the planet would be so delicious? Save the planet. Eat at Loving Hut. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. And I want to invite you to the screening of Veducated. Veducated taking place at the San Francisco Public Library, main branch on Larkin. That on April 28th, we're there from noon to 4 p.m. With the screening, and some of the participants in the movie, Kenneth G. Williams will be there, and Brian, who went through training with Kenneth and experimented on himself, became a vegan for the movie, and had great results. We're screening that movie on Sunday, April 28th at the main library, San Francisco Public Library on Larkin. And hope to see you at the Cesar Chavez Day parade and the big street fair on 24th Street there. I'll be speaking, talking about how Cesar Chavez was vegan and how if he were attending the festivities that day, well, he wouldn't be able to find anything to eat, you know, so he'd probably have to go over to Flacco's in Berkeley. So, the circus is in town. It's a not Ringling Brothers this time, but after a 4-year hiatus, the Universe Soul Circus is back in the Bay Area, and any circus with performing animals will be met by animal advocates protesting against it. And Pat Cuviello is certainly a veteran at that with Humanity Through Education, and he's organizing protests in Oakland with the circus in town now. Welcome again to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. How are you today, Pat?
I'm good. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good. Great to have you here today. So, so what's the story with Universe Soul? What's the story related to animal abuse? There are animals in this circus, also, right? So,
yeah, they used to when they first came here, they had elephants and tigers and some exotic animals like zebras and camels. 4 years ago, when they came, they didn't bring elephants. They didn't have tigers. They had about 6 to 8 tigers, and they had camels and zebra and horses, of course, and a pony. And this year they have fewer animals. They have 2 tigers, which somebody told us, actually a couple people told us in the show, they don't actually make the tigers do any tricks. They use them in magic tricks. So I guess they make them disappear in a cage or something like that. And we saw 1 camel and we saw a horse. So they seem to have fewer animals this year, and I'm hoping maybe they're checking it out, seeing what the audience reaction is to fewer animals and moving toward no animals. That's my hope.
Mm. How is attendance? You're out there at protesting. How's attendance for the circus?
Attendance is always good for Universal here. They always get good attendance.
Mm-hmm. And is there another troupe? Is there... is this, you said no elephants, but is there another group of representing Universe Soul with other animals traveling around? Or
Yes, they do have two units, kind of like Ringling Brothers, two units to travel different areas of the country at the same time. And the other unit does have elephants and does have a tiger act, as far as I know. But this one, they when they came to California, they didn't bring those acts there, which I'm glad about. And like I said, I'm hoping maybe they're thinking about moving away from it. Because we did meet the owner probably about 5 years ago when they were in Oakland. The owner was there, Cedric Walker, and he came out, and he was talking to us. And he was friendly to us. We were friendly to him. He gave us some water. It was a hot day. And, you know, my partner, Denise, said, you know, I think you're going to get rid of the animals. And he said, well, we'll see. We'll see. So you never know. But he was nice enough to speak to us, and he was pleasant and gave us some water. And I just hope they're moving away from the animals.
Mm. As we all hope.
Yeah.
So what has been, I mean, you've concentrated on circuses for how many years now?
Since 1988.
Since 1988.
Years.
What motivated you to concentrate since 1988 on circuses?
Well, nobody was really focused on circuses. We were doing, of course, meat campaigns and vivisection. And nobody really focused on the circus. And even when I brought it up to the local groups, who I was working with, two different local groups, one of them, there was a collective groan like, oh, no, not circuses. We're not leafleting that, are we? And I said, well, you know, they are animals and they're suffering, and we're an animal rights group. And so they did go out, and we did start a campaign against all the circuses coming through the Bay Area, the little ones and the big ones like Ringling. At that time, Universal wasn't around, but. We did do a campaign, so we've been doing it. You know, like I said, it was a niche that needed to be filled, so that's why I focused on it.
Mm-hmm. And you and Denise are heroes of mine. I would have to say legislative heroes because, or judicial heroes, because I, as you know, I've had a number of incidents related to circus protests and free speech, in particular in Anaheim, and. I sued the city of Anaheim for what I believe is an unconstitutional law, and wow, holy cow, what a jury pool of circus attendees, people who hate protesters, hate megaphones, don't care for free speech. I didn't have much success in my trial, but tell our listeners a little bit about what's happened with you when you've had to go to the courts to protect your rights for free speech.
Well, when we've had a trial, which was only twice, the jury with animal rights and juries, they don't seem to mesh too well. But the other cases we've had, we've settled them prior to going to trial because they were based on law, not facts. And the jury, my understanding is the jury decides the facts. The court decides what the law is. And so if you have disputed facts, then you have to take it to a jury. But if you don't have any disputed facts, then you could take it to the court prior to going to a jury trial, which is what they call a summary judgment. And that's what we've done in most of our cases, and we've settled them after the summary judgment because the court comes down and says, yes, you violated the rights. Now all that we have to decide is what are the damages. And so basically we've settled prior to going to trial because – like I said, we had no disputed facts, and they were told, you know, we were playing with house money going to trial because we had already won the case. So that's what happened in our cases.
And
but like I said, the juries were, you know, we had two jury trials, and I would avoid a jury trial if I could.
Well, now I will. Now I will attempt to do so should I ever have to again. So how were your rights violated?
Well, our free speech rights were violated. We were arrested for standing in certain areas, and we were arrested for leafleting in certain areas, and they were blatant violations of our rights. And so we went to the court, we got an injunction against them, and that's basically it. Free speech was what was violated.
Mm-hmm. Would you and free speech apparently has significant value. You had significant awards. Significant settlements in both.
Yes.
So I need to talk to you next time something happens, which I hope doesn't. Maybe I can sue Anaheim in advance of the next protest and, you know, see if we can get that law declared unconstitutional. So what's after? Oh, so tell us about how people can join you at the protest for Universal.
There is a Facebook page. If you go to Facebook, you can. There's a public events for Universal in Oakland, and you can check that out. Or you can call us at 650-248-4489, and we can give you the information when the protests are.
Okay. Any other circuses coming up in the near future?
Not that I know of, which is a good thing, because we used to have a lot of little circuses come through, but they don't come through anymore. But Ringling, of course, is always here in August, late summer, or midsummer to late summer. So they'll be here as well.
Mm-hmm. And Ringling Brothers is, I don't know, so many violations, so many animal welfare violations. I mean, that's, you know, big story in itself. So we'll have you back at that time when we're facing that, and I'll probably be in Anaheim in July when it opens there. And I don't know what hope is there, you know, against Ringling Brothers. I mean, you say there's hope with Universe Soul. You're hoping they're decreasing the number of animals. Hopefully, we're going to zero. Has any progress been made against Ringling Brothers over the years, or?
I know in our area, we've seen numbers go down, and the fact that they're coming after us, because when we get arrested here, it's basically Ringling pulling the strings. And so when they're pushing us this hard, you know, trying to keep us from doing what we do, we know we're having an impact, because nobody pushes hard if you're not having an impact. And so we know we're having an impact, and I think with Ringling, they're the biggest, they're the largest American circus with animals, and they're going to be the last one to fall, but they're going to fall. And like I said, we've seen littler circuses come through here. We've relentlessly leafleted them and videotaped the treatment of the animals and, you know, exposed it to the public and the media. And we saw their numbers just drop, you know, their patron numbers, until they just stopped coming or stopped having animals or just went out of business entirely. So it's just a matter of pushing hard against Ringling. And that's what I understand is happening around the country. There's activists everywhere, they say, leafleting them. So it's just a matter of just, you know, staying focused and being relentless, and we'll win in the end, or the animals will in either case. And it's just,
yeah,
they're the biggest.
In Los Angeles, we're turning out, you know, 500 people for opening night every year for Ringling Brothers. So
yeah, that's incredible. And that's going to have an impact for sure.
Yeah, we own the streets on opening night in L.A. So they don't mess with me and my megaphone then, you know. Actually, the cops in L.A. are a pretty good crowd for the megaphone. It's the ones in Anaheim, you know, so got to watch out for them. So, Pat Kuviel, I want to thank you again for being with us, Humanity Through Education. And your website, contact, if people want to get involved in opposing the circus with you?
You can go to our website, Humanity Through Education. Unfortunately, we haven't updated it, but it's better to call the number 650-248-4489 or go to the Facebook page.
Terrific. Okay. Thanks for being with us today, and thanks for your continuing resistance on behalf of the animals against the circus. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me, Bob.
Sure. We'll continue. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Please support us with a donation or advertise on the TV show, Go Vegan TV, with Bob Linden, or Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. TV show resumes May 2nd, and we join the Genesis Communications Network on radio the first weekend in May also. So support the program. We want to reach as many people as possible and help the animals by inspiring them to go vegan. Grocery store that's 100% vegan, and not just that, the largest vegan grocery anywhere? It's Viva La Vegan, 9456 Roberts Street, Rancho Cucamonga. Thousands and thousands of items, everything vegan, everything cruelty-free, no animal ingredients, no animal testing. Viva La Vegan Grocery, organic produce, fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, and introducing Veganic. Want to go beyond organic? Coming soon to Viva La Vegan. Thousands of grocery items, some you won't see anywhere else. Fresh juice from the juicer at Viva La Vegan Grocery.
donuts, cupcakes, supplements, gluten-free, Viva La Vegan, raw foods, vegan dog food, household items, personal care, books, belts, shoes. They all come together at the largest vegan grocery anywhere. Great prices, friendly staff, thousands of items, everything vegan at Viva La Vegan. 9456 Roberts Street, Roberds, Rancho Cucamonga, California. 909-941-4495. VivaLaVeganGrocery.com. 909-941-4495. Viva La Vegan. Move over dairy. Make way for creamy goodness from coconut cow. Real food, real nutrition from coconut cow. Coconut yogurt, cultured, fermented, creamed coconut meat. A treat by itself or with fresh fruit. Coconut cream, a vegan's dream for baking instead of butter. Raw coconut water, coconut milk for smoothies. Coconut kefir, mango lassi. Visit CoconutCowCafe.com. Organic, gluten-free nutrition from coconut cow. No fumigated coconuts from Thailand are ever used by coconut cow. Also try coconut cow fermented sweet potatoes and sweet potatoes with mango, artisan sauerkraut, and kombucha. Available at Viva La Vegan Grocery, Rancho Cucamonga, and Grassroots Natural Market and Kitchen, South Pasadena. Shipping available. Call 626-993-5631. CoconutCowCafe.com.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com. And I guess we have a baseball game coming up on KCAA, so we may be shortened by a few minutes here. I did want to get to the study. Hopefully, well, if we don't get to a good part of it today, I guess next week it is that important as we talk about Dodger dogs and eating meat and cardiovascular disease. Now, just out this week in the journal Nature Medicine, research from the Cleveland Clinic saying that a compound abundant in red meat and added as a supplement to popular energy drinks has been found to promote atherosclerosis, or the hardening or clogging of the arteries. Again, this from Cleveland Clinic. The study shows that bacteria living in the human digestive tract metabolize the compound. The compound is called carnitine, turning it into, it's trimethylamine N-oxide. We will, from now on, call it TMAO. A metabolite the researchers previously linked in a 2011 study to the promotion of atherosclerosis in humans. The research finds that the diet high in carnitine promotes the growth of the bacteria that metabolize carnitine, compounding the problem by producing even more of the artery clogging TMAO. The research team was led by Stanley Hazen, MD, PhD, vice chair. On and on. He at the Cleveland Clinic. The study tested the carnitine and TMAO levels of omnivores, so-called omnivores, vegans, and clinical data of 2,600 people, and also examined the cardiac effects of a carnitine-enhanced diet, and the results are quite astounding. The researchers found that increased carnitine levels in patients predicted increased risks for cardiovascular disease and major cardiac events like heart attack, stroke, and death, but only in subjects with concurrently high TMAO levels. They found specific gut microbe types in subjects associated with both plasma TMAO levels and dietary patterns. Anyway, vegans were not affected by this. It's the meat eaters. Quote from Hazen, the bacteria living in our digestive tracts are dictated by our long-term dietary patterns. A diet high in carnitine actually shifts our gut microbe composition to those that like carnitine, making meat eaters even more susceptible to forming TMAO and its artery-clogging effects. Meanwhile, vegans have a significantly reduced capacity to synthesize TMAO from carnitine, which may explain the cardiovascular health benefits of being vegan, period. End of sentence, end of study. Don't eat the Dodger dogs when you have the choices to have the vegan ones, huh? Do yourself a favor. Do your family a favor. The research keeps coming out, and here's even more. Sorry I had to rush through it, but we have to take off. Baseball coming up on KCAA. So please support the program with a donation or become an advertiser. The website is goveganradio.com. Thanks for listening. Love animals. Don't eat them. Don't wear them. Don't buy them.